Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, as once again we face the issues. We're always delighted to have you on board and look forward to, with anticipation, your call with your dialogue and your discussion, your questions about the relative issues that we're dealing with. We'd love to hear from you. Some have used the term, they just like to put in their 2 cents worth. Well, you're welcome to do that today. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. We are going to be talking about today when government crosses the line, or if you please, government overreach. Government overreach. Do you think that's possible? Let me ask you a question to kind of whet your appetite for where we're going today. Tune your ears into what we're saying. Do you get up of a morning, go through the day thinking there's something wrong with America? There's something that's ominous. There's something that is change or that is changing. What is it? What's happening? What can I do? Why is it taking place? Where are we headed? What will be the end result? Have you ever thought into those questions? I'd love to hear from you today if you have. It fits right in with what we're talking about with government overreach. We, ladies and gentlemen, back a number of years ago, in fact, it was back in the 60s and 70s, we were always hearing the mantra that government cannot legislate morals. Well, that is true, but legislation today and the governmental overreach is by executive order legislating immorality, things that are unethical, unbiblical, unholy, unconstitutional. And we, the people, are the recipients of it. The end result will be, what will be the condition of America? Where are we going as a nation today? What's taking place and how can we respond to it? That's what we're talking about today as we face the issues. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The authority of Scripture. What does the Bible say? It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I believe we need to be comfortable in seeing that God has, from the beginning to the end, He has given us a guidebook as to where we're going, what's going to take place. But ladies and gentlemen, if you read the last chapter, i.e., you read the end of the book, you know that we win in the end as Christians. So I want us to be encouraged with that, though we need to look at the dark scenario of what's happening today. We need not to be depressed, disappointed, or in some way having a sense of helplessness, because God is still on the throne. God is still overall. God is still in total control. And as Christians, we win in the end. So I want you to be encouraged with that. But we need to be enlightened, educated, and we need to understand what's happening and to recognize it as it takes place. And as we do so, we face it by looking at the Scripture. It's called having a central biblicist worldview. John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says, "I am truth," in John 14:6. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, when Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you accept it or not. And those fruitcakes in Washington are out of hand, rejecting anything that we call morals and ethics and values based on the authority of the truth of the Word of God. It was in his fictional dystopian society that the secularist George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we're seeing today, an absolute hatred for we the people that stand for truth. Truth has become error. Right has become wrong in the society in which we're living in. You go back and read in your leisure Isaiah the 5th chapter. Let's say it's the right page, the right column, about near the bottom in my Bible. It's about verse 20, 21, 22, where the prophetic text in Isaiah chapter 5 talks about the future, that there will be right will be called wrong, will be called right, good will be called evil, evil will be called good. And that's where we are today. We need to stick to the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that. I try to practice that, and I stand on that. And that's the centrality and the core element of this broadcast each day, is seeking the truth and listening to the truth and challenging you to do so, and to learn the truth and love the truth and challenging you, our listeners, to do so, and to tell the truth and defend the truth even to death. And I believe we're on the very cusp, the very edge of having to place our lives on the line for standing for truth. Multitudes are in that position today. Around the world, we find those that stand for truth. Millions of Christians in China today standing for the truth of the Word of God, facing incarceration, slave labor camps, or being put to death as churches are being burned, books are being burned, Bibles are being burned, crosses are being destroyed. The Christians are having to go underground in China today. That has been true for many, many, many years in North Korea, in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and in Russia. Many places around the globe today, ladies and gentlemen, Christians do not have the freedom that we have today. And I'm fearful that we do not recognize that truth is the central focus of what we call biblical Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators for the power backup. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the huge, huge, gigantic American flag flows 24/7. 165-foot flagpole right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road with Old Glory flowing 24/7. And you'll find Tools for Time at the base of that flagpole. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach, dishonor, shame, an insult to any people. And yet we find the major, major thrust of the Biden administration, the Harris-Biden administration, we find the major thrust today of doing everything that is immoral, ungodly, and unholy, that's literally an affront to every child of God, to every Christian. It's governmental overreach. It's when government crosses the line. And you might say, well, what is the line that they're crossing? What is the big red line? It's called the Bible. It's called the Bill of Rights. It's called our constitutional liberties. It's called everything that we know as freedom in America today, to speak and to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, God never intended our government to legislate our morals and ethics and values that are in direct opposition to God's word and to God's teaching. Citizens today, ladies and gentlemen, being forced to disobey God's word, where God's word teaches what we ought to do and where we ought to go. But government has crossed the major red line, I believe, today. I believe with the Biden administration and what he's done, and almost about four dozen executive orders now, and most are not paying a whole lot of close attention to that. I have. And I want us to understand, with those executive orders, he's put into place the demoralization, the absolute undermining, and the destruction of our Bill of Rights. And you might say, well, why are you so concerned about the Bill of Rights? Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights is the right to worship, to freely speak, to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you've been noticing in America in the past year, we've been tested as a Christian nation. We've been tested to see whether or not we bow and bend and shut the churches down. And there's still thousands of churches that are shut down today in America because they simply obeyed the government in crossing the red line that's saying that we're going to tell you when you can worship, how you can worship, or if you can worship at all. Ladies and gentlemen, the red line's been crossed. The government today imposes rules and regulations and laws that are unholy, unbiblical, and unconstitutional. And we've all suffered, ladies and gentlemen, the heavy hand of the governmental control over our churches in the past year. Forced church closings, a pastor put in jail for opening his church and for preaching the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking for an article, looking at an article here that says, the big title, headline, with the Biden era beginning, the calls for censorship and restriction are getting louder and louder. And I don't know if that rings ominous to you, but it does to me. It is simply a matter of what is taking place under the Biden administration today. Here's an article that says, beware the Biden war on domestic terrorism. Now, you might think, if you're talking about a war on terrorism, they've couched it that way, that it's okay. But it's not okay. I'm going to read you the first paragraph in this article. It's a lengthy article. The most startling aspects of the Obama administration, the politicization of our national security apparatus, is now on full display almost nightly on MSNBC. John Brennan, the former head of the CIA, and James Clapper, the former director of the National Intelligence, are frequent guests that use this platform not to warn of pending threats from China or other rogue nations abroad, but to pontificate about the so-called dangers posed by their fellow Americans. Recently, Brennan noted with much glee that the Biden administration is moving with laser-like fashion, to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to the insurgency movement that we've seen overseas, a domestic threat. He categorizes it as an unholy alliance involving, listen, religious extremists, authoritarianism, fascists, bigots, racists, and libertarians. But in the mix of that, religious extremists. What is a religious extremist, ladies and gentlemen? Let me just give you a good example. With Islam, they're religious extremists. They believe what the Quran says, and they're willing to die to implement, to enforce, and to carry out what they believe Allah says. That's a religious extremist. Well, as Christians, we are religious extremists. What does that mean? It means if we believe the Bible, if we believe what the Word of God says, if we believe that God said it and that settles it, whether we understand it or not, if we're willing to obey it, we're called religious extremists today. And I can validate that in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles that I have on my desk that's come into play with the almost four dozen executive orders of Joseph Biden as the Manchurian president, the Trojan horse president, the puppet president that we have in America today. Joe Biden doesn't even have cognitive skills enough to even understand what he's signing. Joe Biden is simply told to sit, shut up, and sign. That's what he's doing. And ladies and gentlemen, it's detrimental for America. And I believe it's time for we as believers, as Christians, to wake up, sit up, and if you want to use the old cliche, smell the coffee and understand what's happening. It's time that the alarm bells go off in our heads, in our hearts, and would motivate us to be actively standing for truth. Now, I'm not saying when we say to stand that we need to be weaponized and go against the Capitol. That's not the point that I'm making by any stretch of the imagination. but we need to stand up and speak up. Ezekiel 33:10 says, how should we then live? Francis Schaeffer, for many years in his speeches and lectures and videos and films, said, how should we then live? Based on what we know, what is taking place, what is happening in our nation, how should we then live? What ought we to do? If the foundation to be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? Psalms 11 and verse 3 tells us. How should we then live? What should we do seeing what is taking place in our nation today? And what is happening and what shall continue to happen? Here's an article. First Amendment agenda for Biden's first 100 days. And this article is about 3 or 4 pages. I'll read one simple paragraph. The range of speech-related challenges to the new administration will confront it dauntingly. Many of these challenges involve novel questions at the intersection of free speech, the free expression of speech, and new technologies, and will require careful thought and creative solutions from federal agencies, Congress, and the courts. But these are steps the administration can take on its own by executive order, Joe Biden says. And that's what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. By executive order, he has basically eradicated, eviscerated, nullified the three branches of government. He's simply, by executive order, running America. Now, he says he's going to do that the first 100 days. And, of course, his goal is, during the first 100 days, to have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer pass legislation that will mirror what his executive orders have said. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about it further in this broadcast today. Some of his executive orders are still being unfurled, and during this first 100 days, they will be fully implemented. They are now being implemented throughout most of the branches of government at his direction. But, ladies and gentlemen, today, as one writer said, and I quote the headline, our nation looks more like Chinese Communist Party than the USA. Further in the article, it says, yes, one of the largest financial institutions in the country acted as an intelligence agency, collecting data on Americans without their knowledge and willingly providing it to the federal law enforcement. It could be the greatest, largest, willful invasion of privacy from a corporation in the United States of America. And it's talking about that which took place 2 weeks ago when the Bank of America silently took all of the credit card information and turned it over to the federal government of everyone that had traveled through, visited in, and spent money in D.C. and all of the surrounding metro area during January the 5th, 6th, and 7th, targeting the 6th, the date that the fiasco took place at the Capitol. So, ladies and gentlemen, do we have privacy? Do we have freedom of speech? Do we have the right to keep and bear arms? Do we have the right and the freedom to worship? Do we still have the rights and the liberties that our founding fathers designated, as we see our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, and why we're here as a nation? I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I think about it often, and my bride and I have talked about it several times. There seems to be that ominous cloud over America. There seems to be that ominous, unsettling feeling over America, where people of all races and genders today across America, everyone, whether it's man or woman, everyone, whether it's whatever socioeconomic strata, there's a sense that something is happening and something is wrong. And that sense is exactly right. We're watching the curtain close when our freedoms and our liberties and our Bill of Rights are simply eviscerated and closed down completely. Listen, you've heard the old cliche. You can put a frog in the water, put them on the burner on the range, start turning it up gradually. That frog will literally boil to death, not realizing it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter until it's too late to leap out of the water. And I believe that's where we're in America today. Most Americans, most Christians, say, why do you worry about these things that's taking place? I'm not worried about them. I am simply seeing what's happening and speaking about them. The number of Christians today that say, well, I can still do what I want to. They've not restricted my movement. Ladies and gentlemen, it's on the fast track. A restriction of your speech, a restriction of our movement, restriction of our health care and what we do and cannot do with and for our own health and our own bodies. We're watching that take place today, ladies and gentlemen. We're watching where churches are still closed. We're watching where pastors have been fined. How many pastors did you see stand up in arms when the pastor in Tampa, Florida, was arrested, handcuffed, taken downtown and booked, and his church fined simply because he opened his church doors? In fact, contrary-wise, one pastor, Pastor Ken Whitten in Tampa, Florida, stood with law enforcement and praised them for arresting the pastor. Now, that's where we are today. That's what we're watching take place. It's the government overreach to force the nation into a lockdown. It's government overreach that forces the closure of hundreds of thousands of businesses. It's government overreach that shuts down a privately owned business. It's government overreach today that is still telling thousands of churches you cannot worship. It's government overreach, ladies and gentlemen, that orders free American citizens to social distance. Have you ever heard of that before in the history of America? Where any pandemic, any virus, any flu, any death-boding virus or pathogen, where the government will tell you to social distance or to wear a mask or to lock down? It's the first time in the history of America. It's government overreach, ladies and gentlemen, for any governor to be given the authority to order citizens to be put into a COVID-infested nursing home, to be killed. To be killed. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Governor Cuomo has done. It is not something that we need to look at and wonder what happened. In fact, it is a matter of fact now. It's a matter of record. And most of us have known that for some time. Here's an article that says, Governor Cuomo's aide admits nursing home catastrophe hidden to avoid federal investigation. The Trump administration was investigating what had taken place because it was so onerous and out of place. So he absolutely fabricated data, documents, and information because of it. And ladies and gentlemen, through the tri-states, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York, immediately we knew that about 35,000 people had been killed in nursing homes. Not nursing homes problems, not nursing homes fault. They were given directives, orders, fiat, executive orders by Governor Cuomo that they had to take the COVID patients. And it's just now, ladies and gentlemen, it's just now. This took place, started taking place last March, April, and May. And it's just now coming to fruition that we see what is happening. But ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be so. I believe we have a caller on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I find it shocking and appalling that the church is going along with this. I'm down here in St. Augustine, and the big Methodist church here, they have a big placard out front, and it says, love your neighbor. And then it's got all the, you know, the six things that the government wants us to do, the distancing, the hand washing. It's appalling that the church,
brother, I'm in
going along
with you. It is appalling to see. I've said this now for a year on this broadcast. It's appalling to see pastors that are spineless, that are hiding under the bed, hiding in the closet, and obeying every whim and directive out of the federal government. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, frees us from that which was taking place in England, where the king made the decision on where you'd worship, what kind of worship, and what you could do. And we have America today as a result of coming away from that. And yet we have pastors today that are bowing and bending and simply saying, yes, sir, Mr. Government, what would you have me to do? There's still thousands of churches in America that's closed. So I'm in full agreement with what you've said. I'm appalled by it. I'm saddened by it. And yet we see the sinister approach with the big hand of government making that more and more realistic and greater directions as to what they're doing to control we the people, not just the churches, not just businesses, but we the people in toto, where we're being expected to simply bow and bend at every whim and wish of every wannabe dictator, governor, or mayor with the fiat executive orders. Right here in Jacksonville, we've had 7 months now with the mayor every 30 days re-exerting his power with executive orders. I am praying that we have some legislators in Tallahassee that will be will follow up on what they've committed to me and to others to do, is to introduce legislation that will limit to 30 days what any governor or any mayor in the state of Florida can do by executive orders. Thank you so much for your call, Tom. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I was listening intently what you said, and COVID-19 is really greasing the wheels for this government control. Now they say that it is splitting and there's all these different strains of it. So there's one strain that's going to fit you. There's a strain that's going to limit your ability to move around. They're going to work that so that their plan is totally enacted. And like you say, a lot of these pastors are running for the woods. I was very distraught this morning. I heard a national pastor from Dallas, and during the Trump 4 years, he was very close to Donald Trump. Now that Trump's out of office, he's now saying that we need to obey the government, that even during Christ's time, that they obeyed Nero. That don't sound right, Dr. Youngblood. What about the founding fathers? Should they have obeyed King George and just not had a revolution? Should they just let things go along? You know, it somehow these people is trying to run this country don't seem that smart. They've come up with a vaccine, but I'm 74 years old. I can remember when in the mid-50s they came up with a birth control for women, and it was Thalmidine. And you'd go in a grocery store and see a child there in a stroller with no arms, just little flippers. And that was a result of Thalmidine. So it just seems like everything is upside down.
Well, brother, going back to what you're stating and what you've said, what we're finding is pastors are now wanting to redeem themselves, even if they took a stand previously. They want to somehow redeem themselves with the Biden administration so that they will not be targeted. And that using the word targeted is exactly right, because it's coming a day and it's on the fast track now that if you fail to obey every whim and wish of government, you will be targeted and things will be shut down. We are watching that take place today, and I'm saddened to see that. In fact, I'm looking at an article here that says, "The real virus is not COVID, it's communism," end quote. And it's a 10-page article about exactly what you've said, about how they have used the COVID pathogen as a rationale to have the big arm, long arm of government to come in and control everything that we the people are doing, very much like has already been done now for the past 15 years in China, where there's total control with every citizen in the nation of China. So you're exactly right. And all I can say is we need to keep on looking up, lifting up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the greater we see with this devastation and the darkness that's coming over our nation and around the world, the closer we are to the rapture of the church and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to know where I'm going. And I pray that you do. The only way we can know is to say yes to Jesus Christ. Tom, thank you so much for your call. Keep on looking up, brother. I'm delighted to hear from you and looking forward to see what God is going to do as we keep on faithing him and not fearing what government may do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.